This ESPN Chicago podcast is brought to you by Cover 5, the free-to-play sports game. This week, Cover 5 is giving you a shot at $50,000. How? Download the Cover 5 app or go to cover5.com. Pick five games against the spread, and in week five, if you make the perfect five picks, you win $50,000. Cover5.com. This is ESPN 1000, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Thank you for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. And thanks to Adam Amin, who joined us in studio. Talking Bulls with him, talking NFL. He'll be on the call with Stink Schlereth on Fox for Bears and Vikings this week.
Did he give you a huge hug?
He did.
He is the best hugger.
He is a good hugger.
Anybody I know.
He almost kissed Yurko. Like they almost kissed.
I went to one side and to the other. Our lips almost made contact.
It was awkward. Yeah,
awkward. I was suddenly aroused.
Yeah,
they're having
love
lunch.
Adam, Adam's great. Thank you to Black and Abdallah. They'll be on tonight ahead of White Sox baseball after Waddle and Sylvie. Crosstalk is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Waddle and Sylvie coming up to get you home on this glorious autumn.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Totally good.
It's going to be beautiful, right?
Yeah. It's going to be, what is it, like 66, 67 degrees?
68, 69,
69. Yeah. Nice.
By the way, Sylvie, I forgot to remind you yesterday, so I'm doing it today. You wanted to talk about delay of games.
Right. I brought this up to Waddle briefly yesterday.
Oh, I missed it.
But it's
then.
Good
okay.
because I cited you when I brought it up about this. Like, we're able to send a rocket up to up to space, yeah. and we could hit a meteor and push the meteor away from Earth. Yes. We're working on all that. But we don't know when the ball crosses the plane, like you were saying, like put the chip in the ball. Right. Like this mechanics, I don't know if you were watching the Packer game.
Yeah.
And it happens once a week. It happens in almost every game you see.
You're right.
Where the play clock.
When you're done, I have to add something that brings that into play. Go ahead.
Okay. It was close.
The play clock. No, I think it was there. I don't think it was close.
Oh, no. You brought it home.
You totally took it over there.
By the way, you didn't need a chip for that. That was a touchdown.
I'm shocked Yurko hasn't jumped on this yet.
He's fixing his fantasy
football. The play clock always hits zero.
Right.
And like they miss it because then the refs always explain, well, the mechanics of the situation is he's watching the ball, then he looks at the clock, and then he looks at the ball again, and that takes a beat.
Gene's territory.
But this one was like 3 seconds.
It was awful.
And it was the play they scored on, wasn't it?
The Patriots scored a touchdown. It was a full 2 seconds,
zero. It was
full
after
2 seconds.
So I was saying, like, again, like your ball chip thing.
Yes.
Why not another thing
to run
into the play clock? Why not a buzzer on the belt? Another buzzer where it hits zero.
Let's make it even more penalizing. Not on the belt, wrapped around the stuff of the guy in charge.
Fine.
If you miss the call, you get shocked.
Well, then if you miss the call, it should buzz when it hits zero. So they know to blow the whistle. And if the ball, they can keep their eye on the snap. This way, they can keep their eye on the snap. They don't have to look at the clock.
It's a good idea. It's kind of like the shot clock.
Why can't they just buzz an air horn?
I'm with you.
It's zero.
Well, there's got to be a device they can put on the air. Who's responsible? Which judge is responsible
back
for
judge.
That, guys? The back judge?
Yeah, the guy all the way
so
in the back.
The back judge should be back wearing judge. The device that then just vibrates on his hip.
I say don't make a mistake. Make it sure it's on the inside of it.
Well, you could have both. You could have the buzzer to let them know, and then they get buzzed if they make
if
a mistake.
If you miss it, you're going to pay a price.
I know where you could put it where it really lets you know what's going on.
That's my point.
Yeah, your ears.
But the device is there to alert them so they don't have to worry about it anymore. That's what
you
I'm saying. There are no more mistakes.
The clock anymore.
They don't have to look at it.
Don't look at the clock.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
The baseball, they did that thing with the football and what was it, the USFL this year? Didn't they use that? Didn't they use the chip?
Uh-huh. Well, Tirico told us about that.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing him say that to you guys.
Come on. Get with it. We're in the 21st century.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake.
How do they not know, though, how to officiate a delay a game?
I don't know.
Out of all these things, they, I mean, Like, we want them to fix the concussion protocol, but they don't know how to call a delay a game.
What's your guys' take also? There was another play that I thought was interesting, worth discussing. The rookie, was it Romeo Doubs, caught a ball in the end zone, got both feet down, and then hit the ground, and the ball came out in the end zone. Initially called it a touchdown, and then they wiped it away.
Back to being Calvin Johnson rule again.
Do you think that should have been, like, use your common sense, should that have been a touchdown?
If you're in the end zone, I don't. Yes.
Do you think it should have been a touchdown?
I watched it. Yes, I thought it should have been a touchdown.
I thought so, too. Like, I get it. Based on the letter of the law, I get why it's not. But, like, common sense would tell you.
You're back to the Calvin Johnson rule again. Yeah. Right? We're back to that.
Well, so it was a failure to complete the process? Catch.
Yes. Yeah. Like, he did everything. He got 2 feet down. But then as he hit the ground... he didn't complete the, quote, football move. He didn't go to the ground with possession of the ball.
He still had possession, hit again, and then it bounced out.
Yeah, I mean, like, he had it for a while.
He did. I always find it ironic, or I don't know if that's irony, but...
Don't you think?
Yes, that the running back or quarterback can basically dive at the pylon and the ball. And then, like, all it has to do is cross the plane and they could fumble it.
Well, I suppose that's because they have possession.
Right. They've established possession. Right. But a receiver can do all that stuff.
And it's not a catch.
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing that one on Sunday, so I'd have to go back and double look.
It would have been his second touchdown catch for the day, Romeo Doubs.
He's pretty good.
He is good.
He just needs more time with
him. He needs seasoning so he can have confidence.
He could be like their next fantastic wide receiver.
Sure. You know? Could be his next Jordy Nelson.
Sure. Jordy Nelson. Absolutely.
Next Donald Driver.
Yeah. The list goes on and on.
Because
they've had good quarterbacks.
And on and on.
Good skill position
players. And they don't need to draft a wide receiver in the first round. Walker, the last one, by the way.
Javon Walker
was the last first round pick because they kept using second rounders. And Donald Driver was a seventh rounder. Didn't matter. They found receivers.
Greg Jennings was, what, a fifth?
You didn't have to be a first rounder to be successful for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, Carmen's boy, yeah. I mean, that is,
you
like,
know what I mean? Like, it's gotten to the point.
He did a lot in the play.
Like, you would have thought, like, wow, common sense would have told you that's a tutty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, man, it's tough not to give him a touchdown.
Hard enough, for Christ's sake.
And if you're a Romeo Doubs owner.
Catch. One, two, to the ground.
And then
that was another one where I think it was the CBS game.
It was
another speechless moment for Romo.
There's no gray area. That's a catch. Two in the end zone.
Yeah.
He's going to the ground. It's a touchdown. He has possession.
Yeah.
When did we go back to this crap with
Calvin
Johnson?
That's what I was saying. Like, I watched
that
play.
It's the crap again.
I knew it was going to be overturned.
They quietly said to somebody, we're going back to the stupidity that we had with Calvin Johnson.
But Jim Nance kept asking Romo.
He doesn't know.
He goes, I don't know, Jim. Like, and that was his answer. It was, all over him first.
You're paying him $19 million a year.
He said it a while ago.
$19 million a year he's getting paid, and he's redone everything.
Right.
Like the PGA Tour players should thank Greg Norman every single day for the rest of their lives. These guys should be thanking Tony Romo, because Tony Romo took it to another level.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now every single one of them is cashing in.
Right.
Every single one of them.
Right. But now his shtick is played. And like
shtick? Man's shtick got played too, but it didn't make a difference.
I know, but...
This turkey's got 27 turkey legs. My name's Madden. Sorry, that was your impersonation too. I apologize.
You're a one trick pony, Johnny.
I didn't want you to think you made fun of someone.
It's the same thing.
I'm not coming
keep
after you.
To me.
I didn't. Yeah, I'm not coming after you. I don't want you to be able to feel that way.
We have fought
a lot. Doesn't matter. Romo's going to be with Jim Nance until Jim Nance retires. Two of them are going to be together for the next 20 years. Guess what? Next time he's going to make $25 to $30 million a year.
You think so?
You guys better start learning to love it. Enough to hate for you guys around here. Garoppolo.
Some guy goes to me,
he goes, they got Garoppolo'd that game. Garoppolo'd that game? What the hell does that mean? All the guy did was yesterday was drop back and was a stud. Some quarterback won a game. It was ugly. It was a management game. The guy was a stud all day yesterday. If his receiver,
well, I don't know about a
if
stud,
his theoretical but... stud tight end can keep 2 feet in bounds,
that's true.
On a throw where he threw his tight end open,
that was a good throw.
Phenomenal yeah. throw.
It was
in the face.
Jimmy
of pressure,
is more of a guy you win with, not win because yeah. of. God.
Of course, and the Debo stud. Touchdown was all Debo.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was like a 10-yard. Wasn't it a 10-yard throw?
I know Brady's never thrown a ball to the side. Yeah, I got a receiver taking 500 yards.
He's been come Brady though.
What are we doing? What are we doing here? Come on.
Did I didn't realize Jimmy, like, I guess they asked him after the game if his arm was less sore. I guess his arm was really sore after the game as he's trying to get back in.
He didn't realize how sore it might be by not throwing for an extended period of time.
Well,
so he throws early during the week now to condition his arm. No, he's trying to condition the arm.
Oh.
Play long
it's
off
shoulder it's like surgery. Camp
see, Brady's not now camp dealing arm. With a bit of a rotator cuff issue as well.
Well,
after
he got
that hit,
he hit on Sunday.
And divorce lawyers, according to one, right?
Isn't that out there? Is that why that was the rumor over the summer?
It's been a rumor for a couple years.
Listen, I'd be in California, and just imagine the windfall he's going to get from Bundchen. Imagine how much money he's going to get from her.
Wow.
She is by far richer than he is right now.
Of course.
Yeah.
If well, I'm him, was.
If I don't know about his off the field, you know, business.
If I'm him,
you know,
I take her for every dollar.
But I think on a salary basis, I think she, you know, on a salary basis for years, she was paid more than
that. I take her for every dollar.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean? What am I talking about?
How about we find an amicable solution so that the kids can,
quid
you know,
pro quo, Clarice. Quid what are you talking about,
Clarice? I would like. I'm Tom Brady.
What are you talking about? I hope Brady. If she makes 10 times as much as him, I hope he takes her to the cleaners.
I don't know that that's gonna matter.
Yes.
Okay.
It always matters, Carm. You know, I mean, like, there's a lot to sort out there.
That's right.
Well, I hope they
there's
don't get divorced.
There's a lot of net profits.
I like a happy Tom Brady. I'm a Tom Brady. I used to be a Peyton Manning guy.
He was a lot happier when he was single.
He was what?
Was he?
How
was
do you
what?
Know?
He was what? What was he?
He said he was a lot happier.
A lot happier when he was single.
You don't know. And they've got other problems down there,
too. On the days
too.
When he was slinging beef all over Hollywood.
Excuse me?
What? Slinging beef all over. When did he live in Hollywood? Am I missing
He was married to Bridget Moynihan.
They were married. They were never married.
He just,
they weren't that
I don't think so.
Partner. They have a kid.
They
have
a kid together, but I don't think they were married.
They were intimate.
They were
but I don't think he was slinging beef all over Hollywood. Has he ever even lived in Hollywood? I mean, like... I don't think Tom Brady. I mean,
I think he may start slinging beef all over
Hollywood.
Well,
maybe he'll start the Hollywood types. How about that?
I got to be honest. I've been on this planet for 55 years. I'm not sure I've ever heard that term.
Slinging beef?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I like it.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah,
that guy's doing backhand springs right now.
You think him and Gronk live together now?
Boy, that's you want to talk about a party house? That is a movie.
That'd be a bachelor pad.
Tom Brady can't hang with Gronk on that front.
Listen, you put a camera in there, in a series of cameras with all the Gronk brothers.
We saw with Brady.
Get them employed too.
Imagine.
And get them employed too. I mean, they haven't done anything in a while.
I'm in.
Get those guys employed also.
What they do is they send Brady out as like bait because he knows it everything they know. And then here come the Gronk brothers.
The animals.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I mean, one night with Gronk would be so much
fun. What's the CBS show where they all live together? What is that called?
Big Brother.
You do Big Brother Gronk and Brady edition.
That's awesome.
You
dude.
Saw Brady have after the celebration the last time they won it. Someone had to walk him through the hotel.
He doesn't ever do nothing. Right. He puts, God bless him. He doesn't put many toxins in his body. He can't go out and drink
with not
with
Gronk. That's what I mean.
Did he get a nose job?
Is it Brady?
I think Big Cat.
Or Gronk.
No, I think Big Cat has been saying we have Big Cat today at 4.
That
I think they believe that Brady got a nose job in the offseason.
See, this is getting a little goofy now. I mean, the guy doesn't need a nose job.
Listen. Some guys want to look perfect. I don't know what to tell you.
Jeez, you're getting a little too obsessed.
You don't look perfect. You just look like a dude who got a nose job now.
Yeah, he's got to calm down. He's Tom Brady. You don't need all this stuff.
He didn't seem to have any issues, you know?
No.
Maybe he wants to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, that's one thing. Maybe Yurko's right.
Could be the
because there's one thing he doesn't have.
That's right.
He's not the most handsome man in the league. It's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Listen, not even close.
You can be the greatest quarterback that ever played the game, but you don't look like Jimmy G.
It could be because these guys are so competitive. You know, it was always the thing that pissed Michael off, right?
Yeah.
Michael hated
you
that Scotty.
You think Tom Brady got a nose job so that he could be more handsome than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Tell the story. Tell Waddle the story.
You know the story about Michael, why he really resented Scotty.
That's right.
Scotty's got the bigger member.
Yeah. That's right.
And it always drove him nuts because Michael's like, well, I'm the best. Well, not so much when they saw Scotty in the locker room.
Not the goat there.
And maybe
Madonna passed on Jordan.
Maybe yeah.
His Highness. Says, no, no, no.
It's now why another reason Michael's getting revenge.
That's right. And so maybe and Brady Marcus. Was like, F this guy.
She's the only one that ever called him Big Tippin' Pippin.
Right, exactly.
That's a great line, Yurko. That's a great line.
I like this Yurko much better than yesterday's Yurko.
That's a great line.
I'm here for you. I should be a writer for SNL.
That was phenomenal.
Big Tippin'. The only one ever to call him that.
Big tip.
Madonna's like, oh,
say,
no, contrary.
You say big dip.
There's a big tip. Let me tell you.
Big tipping, Pippin.
She played a little game of just the tip. There's a big tip. Listen, maybe Brady finally had enough.
Are we still on the air?
No, we're recording an unhinged right now is what we're doing.
Is this unplugged?
Brady said, I've had enough. I'm going to also be the most handsome now. It can't be Jimmy G.
He could live rent-free in his brain.
Maybe he got some fillers or he did a little something here. I don't think the nose job was
something. We'll ask Big Cat that today.
Yeah. I love how Big Cat knows. He's the authority.
Big Cat knows all these guys, though, pretty well.
He does, that's true.
Like, he's really tight now with Julian Edelman.
Mm-hmm. Who is he just talking to?
Everybody wants their own podcast.
He had Jeter on.
Edelman's got his own podcast.
No,
You're just
saying, everybody wants their own podcast. They all want to be a part of the network. All types of things.
Did you see he had Jeter on and he dropped the, a gift basket line?
That was Friday, right?
It was good. I think it was
Friday.
Did
he call him fat, too, or something? And he talked about his weight, that he was overweight.
He might have. I don't know. Yeah, I love it. This is big time. All right, guys. Well, we got a few more minutes. What else do you want to talk? The Sox, you know, yesterday I heard you guys talk about it a little bit.
You okay?
What did I do?
I heard him this morning, or at the start of the show, how upset he was. I loved it.
It's enough already. And like you always say, I mean, you know, Jerry's the common denominator with these things. You think you'd learn a little quicker. And I hope they follow through on their promises from yesterday. You know, go out and look. Actually look for someone.
Do you think they will?
Carm, you mentioned the stat that the Sox have won 3 playoff games.
Games.
Since they won the World Series in almost 20 years.
Games.
Put that down as like the line of Jerry's ownership. And I brought all these facts a couple weeks ago. Jerry bought the team in what, 81 or whatever it was?
Yeah, 81, I think. 80 or 81.
Do you know from 81 to 2004, how many playoff games he won?
3.
3. It's perfect. It's like the balance. 3 lousy playoff wins between 1981 and 2004. They popped up in 05. God bless them. They won the World Series from 06 to 2022. 3 playoff wins.
I mean,
the World Series is surrounded by a grand total of 6 playoff wins, not one series win. Under the ownership of Jerry Reinsdorf.
You've got 40 years worth of ownership. I mean, listen to that. And so, like, what took so long for you to get it, man? And, like, finally follow through now. Let these guys do a real search.
What do you mean? Why do you think they've gotten it? What's your level of optimism that they get it?
Because I don't think is there anybody else out there? Like, he's not going to try this nonsense again where he's going to swoop in and just tell, is he?
Maybe it's Kenny's turn to swoop in. Hire his guy. God. Kenny Griffey Jr. is going to be managing your team.
I might not mind that.
What do you think?
Guys, I don't want it. Doesn't matter. It's yours. I don't want it. Doesn't matter.
Don't
it's yours.
Care. You're taking it.
I don't want
it.
The job. You're taking it.
You get over here. Let me pin you up against the wall.
That's it. You're going to be in White Sox business, and that's it.
You're going to be in White Sox business.
Yes, you are, Ken Griffey Jr. I love you, Ken Griffey Jr. I might not mind that. The Waddle and I might not mind that so much. It was
Ken Griffey. I love it.
I love Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah,
I want to say he's coaching.
Is he?
The U.S. team.
He's the hitting coach.
The hitting coach under Mark DeRosa.
You're right about that.
Griff.
Wow. Mark DeRosa is the team USA manager. It's an all-star. All-star coaching staff. Waddle.
Are
you should see it.
Bitching about them not hitting enough home runs and the launch angle, or is he doing okay?
Well, I would think Griff will tell him hit home
think
runs.
So yeah,
here's how you uppercut
100 of them. Answer this for me. Like, the hitting coach is always the guy that we look to and we bust his balls for guys not being successful. When you look at Jose Abreu and his numbers going down, mm-hmm. his home run numbers, that can't be Frank Mancini's problem.
No, I don't.
Like, a guy that is as established as Jose Abreu and as accomplished of a hitter, when his power numbers go down, That's not naturally a reflection on the hitting coach, is it? Because Jose's not going to change his style.
I wouldn't think so. I kind of agree with you. Yeah.
You know what you need to do, Jose? I know you hit 35 bombs last year.
Singles.
Hit ball into the ground a little bit more.
I don't think that message is being relayed to him, and if it were, I don't think he would heed it. I'm with you. I don't. That's probably not what's happening.
Right.
They're probably best to just say, Jose, thanks.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Right. He's had a great career.
You can't let Jose Abreu go. Really?
Of course you can.
Why not?
Of course you can.
I mean,
you guys were talking about all the Cubs said goodbye to Rizzo.
They did. The Braves said goodbye to Freddie Freeman. Do you think the Braves sweat it?
He's going to win a batting title this year, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But so what? Do you think they sweat it?
It was win-win for both.
They're going to win their division.
Yeah.
And the way they came back again?
I know. They don't sweat it.
2 years in a row, they did it.
They do their jobs. They replace players.
I still think that Schwarber bat would have looked good in a White Sox uniform.
Maybe. Could have meant the difference. Maybe. Probably. Could have meant the difference. Maybe.
And he's awful defensively, and that's fine. But you could have traded the awfulness you have defensively in your corner spots, where, quite frankly, you're hanging players out to dry. They're not outfielders.
No.
Andrew Vaughn and Gavin Floyd are not outfielders.
And Gavin
Floyd.
Sheets.
Gavin Sheets, excuse
you're
me.
Going down
Gavin
to, Floyd's you're not going either. Down the rabbit hole I'm of sorry. The White Sox badness
Gavin
now.
Sheets and Andrew Vaughn are not outfielders. You're already doing them a disservice. But the other guy is as bad, but he's going to hit 50 bombs.
Well, he's the ultimate deodorant for his bad defense, his 49 home runs.
It's just,
I love that guy.
It's dongs.
I love it. All he does is deliver in big games.
Yes. I know.
Hey, want to clinch a game? Here, I'll hit you two.
I know.
Hey, it's my first postseason game in Pittsburgh. 45,000 cheering against me. I'm a rookie. Oh, I'll hit one into the river.
He hit a home run in their playoff game against the Yankees last year.
You know what he said? Right. You know what he said?
He's just...
Take that!
Yes. Take it! You know what? I'm out with a knee injury for 6 months.
Take it!
You know what?
Take that!
I'll come back in the World Series and hit 412.
Dong,
and
then dong, start, dong, the, dong, dong, dong.
Start the seventh inning rally. That ding, guy dong, doesn't get enough dong. Credit for what he does.
It is true. It is true. Like, he's just...
Plus, he joins our show all the time. He's a great friend of the program.
Well, I heard him with you guys last week. He was good. He was.
He's a friendly guy.
All right, boys. What's up on the show?
Oh, I just think he hit another dong. While we were talking.
Might have. What's up on the show, boys?
Has Judge hit another dong?
I don't think so.
That's another conversation point for me. People want to stand on their soapbox.
Don't even start.
Let's bring it tomorrow. Here, Aaron.
Tomorrow.
Hit this underhanded pitch out for the record.
All right, save it for tomorrow.
Well, throw them strikes. All right. So coming up next, here's what we're going to do.
All right.
Waddle was on with Greeny.
Yes.
A lot of people do not like at all blaming Justin Fields for his lack of production. And Cap went off on that, too. We'll play that rant next. We're going to give you our lists in order of to blame. Who are the people to blame for the Bears' lack of success on offense? Meaning, is it the offensive line? Is it the skill guys? Is it Getsy? Is it Fields? Is it the general manager?
Can you guys call in with your lists if you want, please? Yeah.
Biden and Trump are number one and two on my list.
Oh, jeez. We're gonna rank them in order of who. We're gonna go around the room. Who's to blame? I've got some advice for Cap.
Sounds good.
He can call one guy.
Call one guy.
One guy.
Hey, don't let that cat out of the bag.
Okay.
Right. Good. I know where it's going to be. All right. Waddle and Sylvie, we'll get you home next.
I just wrote it down.
We'll see. Yeah, exactly. I knew it's coming. We'll see you tomorrow early. Remember, we're on at 10 tomorrow. We'll crosstalk with Hoodie and Cap at 10. We'll be on early because there's a day baseball game. And then Waddle and Sylvie will be in at noon tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
We're having issues. We're back
we're
now?
Always it's not a Jeff Miller problem. It's we have
issues
in the machine.
Yeah, the machine
although
is
he
still...
may have hit a button because Aaron Judge popped up and didn't hit the home run. And not only is Miller interested in the chase, he's also got Aaron Judge on his rotisserie team. So he may have just fell face first into the
no,
board.
No, I can't make the machine make sounds, but I can give you your intro to Greeny's great show this morning.
Yeah, did you hear this? This was good. Waddle, you were great today. Waddle,
are you patronizing me?
No, you're fantastic.
After I gave you a shout-out, you're going to patronize me like that.
I'm not. I
thought you were fine.
Waddle was on with Greeny today.
We have to. I don't care about what you think. Good.
I'm glad that's been established.
I thought you were great, Waddle.
I just want to put that out there.
I thought you were great.
Greeny introduced this on his show today that, like, the national narrative is that Fields is not to blame. That this is all surrounded by
that he is badness. Absolutely, yes.
Zero. Like Orlovsky was ranting about this. We've got some Orlovsky sound. I want to play you Cap here.
It's almost criminal in some people's mind to suggest that the quarterback may be responsible for some of the issues with this offense that is averaging 98 net passing yards a game.
Yeah, but you have the shout out first. A really good intro, too. Greeny was he raving about you. Then he said best to the family at the end. That was a good hit.
That really was a kick to your nuts, wasn't it? Because he's never said to you, hey, best to the family.
That's what I did to Matt Nagy last year. I said, hope you and the family. Well, you know,
I hope your kids are good.
He gave you a fluff on the way out. It's usually the fluff on the way in. You fluff someone up on the way in. He fluffed you on the way out.
Did he buy you some peanuts and Cracker Jacks at any point?
This is Waddle with Greeny this morning, the intro.
Tom Waddle is someone I've known forever. He has been a talk show host now in Chicago, Waddle and Sylvie, forever on ESPN 1000. Just outstanding. But I knew him when he was a tough, hard-nosed wide receiver for the Chicago Bears back in the 90s. And when I have questions about the Bears, I turn to Tom Waddle. So first off, Tommy, thank you as always. I hope that you're doing well.
I'm doing well, thank you. Sylvie's jealous because when you have questions about the Bears, he wishes you called him, not me.
Well, you know, if he had been blown up on a third down catch the way you always did in Tampa and other places, then maybe I would turn to him. Anyway.
That was good.
See, I tossed you. I wanted to make sure that everyone knew that this is a partnership here and has been for 15 years.
You threw your insecure co-host a bone.
Absolutely.
That was good.
I wrapped you in a little blanket and kept you warm. I took a little shot at you, you know, in the process.
Of course. I love that, though. But that's what we got.
Right.
And then, Cap, this morning we were alerted about this because Orlovsky was ripping the Bears and saying none of it is Fields' fault. Nothing he can do, whatever, you know, it's all the bad is because what's around him. It's none of it is on him to blame. So then Cap doubled down. This was on Cap and Jay Hood this morning.
Justin has no chance. Hey, Justin, how's things going for you in the NFL? Well, I got a crappy offensive line, and my best offensive lineman, the highest graded guy we got, he just hurt his knee. He's out. How about your tight end? You got Kittle or is Gronk back? No. I got a guy who's a really good inline blocker, not very good as a pass catcher. Doesn't have any breakaway speed. Oh, that's not good. How are your wide receivers? Mooney's okay. He's a three. But the other guys? They can't get any separation. How's your defense? We're worst in the NFL against the run. Well, then why would anyone throw against you? They would run it down your throat. That's what they're doing. Do you get sacked? Yeah, 6 times on Sunday and hit 9 more out of 22 pass attempts. But it's my fault. Hey, H, out of here.
You're something else, Cap.
I'm just telling you, there's these freaking morons out there going, Justin sucks. What's he doing? Justin's getting the ever-living... I almost said it. Beaten out of him every week. Well, I froze this picture, and he should have seen Mooney because the guy's hips were turned.
All right.
Stop talking idiocy because they had already told him on that play, Adam Hogue tweeted it, tuck the ball and run. Come on, man. He's waiting. He's got PTSD. Poor kid's getting it.
Almost did it again.
Beaten out of him.
I now have PTSD.
Crap.
Yes.
Yeah. From all those years of working with him?
Just from the yelling right there.
The same guy, by the way, who hates Jay Cutler, the same guy who never cut Jay Cutler any slack when Devin Hester was his number one wide receiver. When a really good special teams player in Devin Hester, Hall of Fame special teams player, was designated his number one wide receiver. Wasn't Roy Williams at one time?
That's not a big Brown thing coming at me.
You know, Jamarcus Webb is his left tackle. Like, never once. And you know, Cap's calling Cuddy every name in the book. How much
he sacked
sucks.
9 times in the Meadowlands in the first half of a game against the Giants.
So which is it? So anyway.
The truth usually lies somewhere in the middle.
There's
aspects of life.
I thought Bleacher Nation did a good thing today too. Like, they summarized it that this is like somehow, some way, a tough conversation in Chicago.
Shouldn't be,
because if you criticize or critique Justin Fields and say I expected him to be better, he's not as good as we thought he would be, then you're in a you know what. You know, you're a hater. You're not a real Bears fan. Bears fans don't deserve a good quarterback with fans like you. And if you're a guy who says it's all the other things and not Justin, then everyone's like, are you kidding? Justin's a bust. You know what I mean?
More than one narrative can be accurate and correct at the same time. This isn't it has to be all true or all false. A number of different issues can be true. The offensive line needs to be better. The receiving group needs to be better. The quarterback needs to be better.
Yes. So, as far as groups, like some people on Twitch, you could watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Some people on Twitter. And by the way, the Twitch channel is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We appreciate those people. Appreciate everyone tuning into the Twitch chat and sharing their thoughts with us as we speak. We love that. And a lot of people were saying Sam Mustipher's to blame. Or this is less, like, we'll do it by position. Like, quarterback, skill guys, offensive line, in order. Like, what is our power rankings of right now?
Those that are responsible for the ineptitude of the offense overall.
And they could all get better. Hopefully the line develops. Hopefully Justin develops. Hopefully some of the skill guys will play better football. Luke Getsy gets better.
Let me make this statement really briefly to add a little context before we go ahead with this exercise. When you average 98 net passing yards per game, there is absolutely no one in that offensive huddle that escapes blame. None of them. Zero. This is the National Football League. You throw for 98 net passing yards per game. Everyone needs to assume some of the responsibility.
Right.
Nobody escapes blame with an offensive passing attack that is as inept as this one has been through only four games. Now, I will also say this. I actually thought Justin was better on Sunday against the Giants than he was the previous two games.
Well, he better be.
Of course, because the bar is significantly lower than most bars in the National Football League. But if we're talking baby steps, I think you saw some progress.
Right. And now
that's what we're asking for.
Do it in Minneapolis now, too. Yeah, absolutely. I've told you about this. I do not want another search to cover. I don't want to have to buy my kids new quarterback jerseys. I don't want to have to throw them on a lap of a new quarterback and take a picture during training camp.
I just, I'm tired of arguing with people, too. If you see it differently, fine.
You had a great line to Greeny. One day you'll call me and we'll talk about the Great Bears offense and them winning football games. Like, we should be used to this because we've done it with Cuddy. We've done it with Mitch. We're doing it now with Fields. It's rinse and repeat, and it drives us all crazy.
And
want the same thing.
Yes, and look, I'm not going to discredit your view. If you want to say it's all one guy's fault, fine. I'm just going to give you my opinion on what I see. It's also what I said about Hembo. Hembo gave all the stats, and I'm not blaming him. There's stats for everything. He's been sacked 16 times. Nobody's been sacked more than Justin. How many of those sacks, if you look closely, could be attributed to him not handling the pocket well? Are they all on Sam Mustipher? Does Justin have to assume responsibility for a couple of them? There's no separation. What are we looking at? Like, we can make stats and numbers sing whatever song we want. At the end of the day, I think the most valuable technique for coming to your own individual conclusion is your eyes.
Right, right.
What are you seeing?
So let's do this. All right, let me start here. We came up with this idea in the pre-show fist fight. So in order, like top five, like go in, we said five, like if you want to add a bonus one like you do
Why
on all your lists.
Why does the Bears offense suck so bad right now?
Right. As of now, what is the power rankings of who's to blame or where the blame is? Here's mine. Number five, I'm going with the skill guys. I don't think
so. This is lowest to highest.
Lowest to highest. Okay. Number starting at five, going to one. Number one is the most to blame. Number five, the skill guys. The skill guys haven't been good. Darnell Mooney has made plenty of mistakes. Cole Kmet isn't what anyone thought he would be. But I don't believe that they're the most to blame. I don't even think it's close. It's like what I hear you in my brain say open is open. And there have been guys open. So, yes, they're at fault. They're not good, but they're not the most to blame. Number four is Luke Getsy and Matt Eberflus. I think their conservative nature and not allowing them to try things and to succeed or fail, then coach them up. In spite of that, or hopefully in success, like you can take them to another level. I don't love the conservative play calling. That's number four. Number three, I'm going Justin Fields. The quarterback is a part of the problem. Justin Fields has been worse than any of us thought he would be, even knowing that he wasn't surrounded great. He has missed throws. He has missed open guys. He has run before he needs to run. He doesn't step. He puts his eyes down as he runs and doesn't look downfield. There's room for improvement. I'm not out on Justin Fields. He's not the most to blame, but he's a part of the problem. Justin Fields is number three. Number two is the offensive line. I think they have been bad. They run block okay. There are some, I think Jenkins has been a success story. Braxton Jones hasn't been terrible. It's not all bad, but they're more to blame than Justin Fields. And number one, Cap can use his cell phone that he's always on, and he can call one person and rant at. He could call all the fans morons, as he usually does, just like he did in that soundbite. But the biggest guy to blame is the person that he went out to dinner and sat on his lap when they were drinking margaritas together. It's Ryan Pace. It's not Ryan Poles. It's Ryan Pace. There's only so much a general manager can do in one offseason. The cupboard is bare because Ryan Pace sucked at his job. And to another degree, you could also include George and Ted in this. And it's the point you brought up, Waddle, that it's a systemic issue where they knew their guys were on the chopping room floor, the cutting room floor.
And they still gave them the authority to pick and develop a quarterback.
Draft a quarterback, leave him, and then have him left out to dry. So, to me, the number one blame is Ryan Pace. And then above him, the whole, it starts at the top.
This is going to be a very subjective process and a very subjective exercise, right?
Of course, it all is.
So, like, I don't have the, well, I'll start with number five. My number five is the wide receiving and tight end group. For some of the reasons that you mentioned. I think that it's not an elite group, but there have been guys open. Do you need more separation? Sure. Number four I have is Justin, and my biggest concern is that he is struggling to do the basics well. And maybe that is a result of his confidence is down, his eyes are down, he's not reading things properly. At the end of the day, I said this to you before, he hasn't been surrounded by a lot. Obviously, the offensive line's a below-average pass-blocking group. The receiving core is not great. The offensive coordinator is playing this role for the first time. We're asking all of those guys to pick up the quarterback when the reverse has to be part of the equation too. The 11th pick of the draft, too much is given, much is asked. Like, I'm not asking him to be Patrick Mahomes, but don't be Josh Rosen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't think it's asking too much for the 11th pick of the draft to hit his layups and do the basics and maybe be the reason why he doesn't get sacked, because he helps his rookie left tackle by stepping up in the pocket and moving around. So I have Justin at four. Number three, I have the offensive line, because I think that while they can pass block or run block pretty well, I think they are collectively a bit of a liability when you're trying to build the passing game. Number two, and this is, I put him at number two, but I'm okay with the future. I put Ryan Poles as number two because Ryan was the one that decided that this is a full rebuild. We're not going to zoom in and focus on Justin. We're going to zoom out and look at the whole team, and we're going to address other things. And our top priority isn't going to be getting Justin more weapons in the offensive huddle. It's going to be, I got a poo ton of things to address. I'm going to save my draft currency. I'm going to save my money. I'm going to have $100 million to spend next year in free agency. I'm going to have a full complement of picks. And I'm going to address the situation next year. Again, I use him as number two, but it's not like you suck at your job. No.
Right.
He chose this path.
It's the philosophy.
Right. And the nature of that philosophy means that there isn't a lot in that offensive huddle. But I'm not going to kill him for it, because we'll see if his plan works out. Does that make sense?
Did you do Pace number one?
Number one is Ryan Pace. Yeah. Because, again, like, they are still in, when the new group came to town, I think that the first thing they did with all of their actions was, look, this is a complete rebuild. We're going to try to purge this roster of the pieces that were here before. Doesn't mean all of them were horrible, but we got to start over. And they were in hell in terms of salary cap issues. They had to take some short-term hits to create some long-term space. They didn't have a full complement of picks. They weren't left with a plethora of good stuff because of the previous regime. And you look, you can't blame the, you can't put the sins of the old regime on the new regime. And that's why you may look at me and say, Poles at number two, that's kind of odd or harsh. But and I'm not one that says, well, Ryan Poles has failed him. No, Ryan Poles has taken this approach that we're going to do this in the, we're going to have a long-term approach, not a short-term approach. And in the meantime, it's going to be bumpy as F on the offensive side of the ball because of the long-term approach.
Let's continue the conversation coming up next. If you want to react, 312-332-3776. Do you agree, disagree with our list? We want to hear from you. Plus, Courtney,
you guys got a list over there, too? Somebody got a list?
Courtney Cronin at 3, and we got Barstool Big Cat at 4.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
So we just gave you our list. I want to go to Tyler and Mellor, too.
We played the blame game.
Yeah, it's just like as of now. And it's, again, it's through four games. It's just like a power ranking for the best teams in the league. We don't know who the best teams are in the league at the end of September, early October.
Yeah, now more than ever, you can't come to any long-term conclusions based on the first month of the season.
And we hope in 8 weeks from now, we're going to say, boy, has there been some growth. There's been growth on the line. There's been growth with Justin. There's been growth with play calling.
All of it.
And we feel positive. So we gave you from 5-1, people were blaming. Mellor, who do you got? Top 5-1.
My fifth is the receivers slash tight ends. I suspected it was the worst skill position player group in the NFL heading into the season. I think that's apparent that it is four games in. Number four, Justin Fields, as Waddle laid out, the 11th overall pick. A little bit has to fall on his shoulders, even though it is his first year in this system. Number three, an oldie but a goodie, Matt Nagy. I'm going to go ahead and give him some blame because you know why? The reason they're in this spot is because the offensive innovator was a clown when he was running things here in Chicago. And now, again, first year OC and Luke Getsy steps in. Justin Fields, who we heard Luke Getsy call
stuff,
a rookie year for him, basically. Number two, Ryan Poles for me. You know what? Just like Waddle said, he's the one who chose to go this route. So even though the offense is bad and it's a bunch of guys who weren't here because of him, nevertheless, he chose his rookie year to take this route. So
this is the byproduct of the plan that he's put into place.
He deserves some of the blame.
Doesn't mean his plan won't work long term.
Correct.
But in the here and the now.
And I'm still mad at him for not selecting George Pickens in the second round of the draft when he was available to them. And then finally for me, the other Ryan, Ryan Pace.
All right, we all have Pace one. I did not put Poles on my list. Tyler, who do you got?
Number five, I've got Ryan Poles. I think for a lot of the same reason that Waddle and Mellor had, but the way that I view it is that I think he still could have done a little bit to help him out, and he just didn't do anything really to help him out. My number four, I've got Justin Fields. I do think a lot has to fall on his shoulders as well because superstar quarterbacks make their surrounding talent better around them despite the fact that they may not have some of those pieces. Number three, I've got the offensive line. They haven't done anything to really keep Justin upright. Granted, some of that is on Justin. Number two, I have Matt Nagy.
Wow, not you just, both with Nagy. Wow.
And like, he was supposed to be an offensive innovator that develops talent. There has been very little offensive talent that's been developed, and that's a big reason why Ryan Poles had to go in and clean the house with a lot of these offensive players. So, and also for not making Justin Fields a starter last year in training camp and giving him that first year of being QB1 in an offseason. And then number one, I've got Ryan Pace.
So we all have Pace one. We are very similar. We all have the offensive line very high. We all have Ryan Pace number one, and then a few spots off. And then the only thing where I differ is I did not even put Poles on my list.
Listen, the cupboard is bare. And what was left, a lot of it was sent away because what they wanted to do was start over. They tore it down to the studs, and they've purged themselves of the previous regime's roster for the most part. That's been the approach from this team so far. I would just say this again. When you have not, when you're averaging after a month of football in this league, 98 net passing yards, and your quarterback is completing 51% of his passes, there's enough blame to go around.
Right. He has to be a part of the equation. Yes. You can't avoid him and blame everyone else but him. You can't. 312-332-3776. If you want to discuss with us, Courtney Cronin will give us the update a day after our Bears Monday show, where she will recap everything that went on at Halas Hall and what the Bears will look like going forward. And she covered the Vikings for a few years, so she's the perfect person to talk to. We'll do it next.